This is LBC London News.
22 minutes past six right now, Wednesday the 15th of June, and you may have noticed today that some of our biggest stories all coming from America, and extraordinarily two heartbreaking stories from Orlando in less than 72 hours. Of course, 49 people killed in the gay nightclub shooting by Omar Mateen, and then a child missing following an alligator attack near Disney World in Florida. Let's get the latest from America. We're going to speak to our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks. A very good evening to you, Simon.
Hello, Chris.
Now, let's start with Donald Trump. He seems to have had a change of heart in the wake of these Orlando shootings. He's been tweeting that he'd like to meet with the National Rifle Association to discuss some sort of gun control. Is this some sort of total U-turn for him?
Well, I think it's very unclear that this is a total U-turn. Donald Trump is on his feet at the moment in Atlanta, making a speech that is completely unplugged. He's not working from a teleprompter. And I think many will argue is completely unhinged. He has once again talked about the need to suspend all immigration into the United States from areas where acts of terrorism emanate until, as he puts it, we can work out what the hell is going on. He has not explained the tweet that he put out this morning suggesting that he wanted to sit down with the National Rifle Association, the pro-gun lobby, which of course has endorsed him, and discuss the possibility of making sure that people who are on the no-fly zone, they're considered a security risk here, so they're considered too dangerous to be allowed to get on a commercial aeroplane. He suggested he was going to talk to the NRA about making sure that they should not now be allowed to buy a gun, because of course Democrats, President Obama himself and Hillary Clinton, have insisted that if you're on the no-fly zone, you shouldn't be allowed to buy a weapon, but the NRA has previously opposed that measure. However, in this speech, far from appearing to portray himself as a crusader for gun control, Donald Trump has once again suggested that the threat of acts of violence, and in his mind he ties this to immigration, the threats of mass gun violence being perpetrated by people who come into the country from outside the country mean that, in fact, revelers in the Pulse nightclub would have had a better chance of surviving the massacre if they too had been armed. Just take a listen to this.
But we have to have people come in that cherish us, that love us, that want to love us, that want to do things, that don't want to destroy us, that don't want to go to a club where you have innocent people and where you had no guns on the other side. And if the bullets were going in the other direction, aimed at this guy who was just open target practice, you would have had a situation, folks, which would have been always horrible, but nothing like the carnage that we all as a people suffered this weekend.
That's Donald Trump speaking a few minutes ago down in Atlanta. He is still on his feet, so we will have to wait and see whether he does, in fact, address that conversation that he says he wants to have with the National Rifle Association. Up on Capitol Hill, Democrats are all in favor of making sure that people on the no-fly list shouldn't be allowed to get weapons, but they sound skeptical about whether the Republicans can genuinely get behind that idea. Here's top Democrat up on Capitol Hill, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi.
I would hope that we could reach out to our Republican colleagues and say the least we can do is the no-fly, no-buy legislation. The Republican majority in the Congress of the United States is a wholly owned subsidiary of the National Rifle Association.
But it has to be said, Chris, you know, Donald Trump doesn't speak for the National Rifle Association. And at this point, it's going to be very hard, given the speech that he's making in Atlanta, for Democrats to see him as a productive partner in any way, shape or form.
It seems, Simon, that almost everyone would agree that this was a homophobic attack on Americans and Floridians in Orlando. But Donald Trump went on to thank the LGBT community. I know it's not been well received over here by the LGBT community. Any word from them over in America?
Well, I think it's absolutely laughable. I mean, Donald Trump keeps saying that he's hearing from some people who are gay that he's been right all along, particularly on this issue of trying to protect America by closing the country's doors and banning the immigration of Muslims, but now banning all immigration from places. He said it again in this speech, that the LGBT community is coming around to understand that what he's been saying over the last two or three days makes sense. He's also, I have to say, portrayed himself in this speech as someone who is going to defend the rights of all Americans. He says he wants to make America great again for all Americans, regardless of sexual identification, regardless of race, regardless of creed, regardless of color. But look, I mean, I don't think the vast majority of members of the LGBT community are going to take that assertion from Donald Trump particularly seriously, not least because he's now the standard bearer for a party that has opposed the legalization of gay marriage all over the country, an issue that, of course, was championed under President Obama's watch in the White House, and a party that many lesbian and gay Americans will argue, if it ever comes to the party of equal rights for all, is coming to the party very, very late in the day.
Staying with the shootings in Orlando, if we can, from moment, Simon. Much has been said about the shooter in the last 48 hours, but now some of that focus seems to be turning on Omar Mateen's wife. What do we have on that as the latest?
Well, we know that a grand jury has been impaneled in Florida, a federal grand jury, and there are reports here that by the end of the day, Omar Mateen's wife could be facing criminal charges. She began cooperating with the FBI a couple of days ago. She has been polygraphed. She has apparently told FBI agents that she was aware of her husband's plan to attack the Pulse nightclub, that on one occasion she drove him there so that he could scope it out, that she was with him when he purchased some of the ammunition that may have been used in the attack, and reports here suggest that she says she tried to talk him out of launching the attack against the nightclub. All of that, of course, leaves her open to a very serious and lengthy list of charges, including, of course, the possibility of conspiracy to commit murder. So we're waiting to see if those charges are indeed laid against her over the course of the next few hours, but she certainly seems to be in a great deal of legal jeopardy.
Now, teams in Florida still searching for a two-year-old who was dragged into a lagoon by an alligator near Disney World. We're hearing that four alligators have been caught and put down, but no evidence that the boy has been found. What's the latest on that?
Well, unfortunately, this is just a terrible story. I mean, I think a lot of us can identify with, because I know many of us have been to Walt Disney World and may be thinking of doing so during the course of this coming summer.
Absolutely.
This two-year-old boy was wading in a lagoon in Walt Disney World, part of the resort, when suddenly an alligator grabbed him and carried him off. And unfortunately, officials down in Florida say they have reached the conclusion that the two-year-old infant has passed away. This is no longer an operation aimed at trying to rescue him, but an operation at trying to find his body. Here is Sheriff Jerry Demings.
It certainly is not survivable at this point for him to have been submerged for this period of time. So we know that this is a recovery effort at this point.
An awful day for officials at Walt Disney World. They have closed access to lagoons and lakes throughout the resort. As you said, Chris, they've been the authorities down there have been rounding up alligators and disposing of them. But, I mean, the reality is you can't possibly round up all the alligators in the region, nor can you completely control their movements. I mean, that's one of the reasons the natural habitat and the wildlife in Florida that attracts so many tourists. They want to go and see the Florida Everglades, and you know, these animals are not in any way restricted in terms of where they can move. And so this is just seems to be an absolutely dreadful tragedy for the little boy and his family. They apparently come from Nebraska. And like so many Americans and so many people from around the world, were planning a magnificent holiday at Walt Disney World. But for them, tragically, it has turned out to be anything but that.
Yes, an exceptionally sad story. I mean, I visited Disney World on many occasions, and it really is one of the most magical places on earth. It must be shocking for a family to go through that whilst on holiday. Can you just tell us a little bit about the area of the Magic Kingdom and Disney World as a whole? Because it's a huge area of Orlando, isn't it?
It is an absolutely vast part of Orlando. Lake Buena Vista is where Walt Disney World and a whole slew of other amusement parks are, of course, located. And they occupy vast amounts of territory, I mean, almost like small cities. And many of them have these kind of natural wonders. They have things like lagoons and lakes in the middle of these properties. And again, that's one of the reasons why people travel to Florida and why people go to these amusement parks. It's also just worth making the slightly broader point, Chris, that this has truly been an absolutely dreadful 96 hours in Orlando. It started off with the killing of that pop singer, Christina Grimmie, shot as she signed autographs after a live show on Saturday night. Then the nightclub attack in the early hours of Sunday morning. Now this two-year-old apparently dying as the result of an alligator attack. And, you know, the city authorities down there must just be wondering how on earth so much bad news can be visited on one city over such a short period of time.
Absolutely. Well, that's our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks, joining me live from America.